Change everything. As long as you're not blind. I want to thank everybody for being here this morning. We have several visitors who are with us this morning. We appreciate your attendance. We hope you've been encouraged in our service together. We say this from time to time. If you do have any questions about anything that we do here, anything that we believe or practice, we'd certainly encourage you to reach out to us. We'll be happy to sit down and discuss those things, opening up the Bible together and seeing what the Word of God teaches on those matters. We don't like doubt. We don't like people to have unanswered questions. Best we can, we want to go to the Word of God and understand what His will is for us individually and for us as a church. And so thank you for being here, and we hope that you are encouraged in our service together. Many mornings I take Kadri in kindergarten, take her to school. And our school starts at about 7:30 in the morning, so especially during the winter time, it is, dark around that time. The sun's just coming up. And from where we live, the route that I take whenever I'm taking her to school, the sun is typically always to my back. And so I'm driving to school, and the sun's continuing to rise as we wait in the car rider line, and we wait, and we wait, and we wait for all those kids to get out of the car in front of us and get in there so we can get on up there, right? And as we wait, of course, time is passing by. And so I'm going away from the sun and kind of down a hill to get to the school. And of course, whenever that finishes and I'm going back home, generally take the same route back. And so then I'm going back up the hill as the sun is continuing to rise. And there's typically this one spot, a stop sign, and I come up to it. And this happened just a few days ago. I was coming up to that stop sign. And, you know, there's always that perfect spot in the vehicle where even though you have the visor down as low as it'll go and you're trying to, you know, pull it down as low as it'll go, there's always going to be that little gap, right? And so as I'm pulling up the hill and I'm pulling up to the stop sign, there the sun just shines right through that window. And you know what happened? I looked at my windshield and I said, man, that thing is dirty. I've been driving around with that dirty windshield this whole time. And I had never noticed it because I never noticed, I guess, how the light hit it. And when the light hit it just right before it temporarily blinded me, I was able to notice how dirty my windshield was, both on the outside and on the inside. And I think about the light. And I think about the power of light. And here I am driving around day in and day out with this dirty old windshield, and I'm oblivious to it and I never notice it. But here when the light hits my windshield just right, the light coming from the sun, which, mind you, is 92 million miles away, but that light is so strong and so powerful that it shines and reaches little old me here in Church, Texas, where I live, and shines upon that windshield and is able to illuminate it in such a way that I can see a perspective which previously was unseen to me. And I think about that, and I think about how God is the one who created the sun, and how God is light. You look in 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1. I love how God takes these simple constructs that are universal to life and uses them to teach us about the spiritual. In 1 John chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, "And this is the message we have heard from Him," from Jesus there, "and announced to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." The brightest light that we could probably think of, the sun. And God created that light. God is light. God's more powerful than that light. God is described as light. Jesus Christ, during His ministry, like in John chapter 9 and verse 5, talked about Himself being the light of the world. He says, "I am the light of the world." And so God is light and Jesus is light. We know that the Scriptures talk about how the Word of God is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. The work of the Spirit described there as a light unto us. And just to think about the power of God and to think about the purity and the glory of His light. You know, a lot of times people profess to be unbelievers because they say, well, I can't see God. You know, I don't see God, and so therefore I do not believe in God, which is foolish because there's plenty of other things that they don't see, like sound, and yet they believe in those things anyway, right? Because of the effect. And so it's sort of a foolish thing anyway. But people say, well, I don't see God, and so I don't believe in God. But if you think about that, why can't we see God? Well, in part, it is just because of the nature of God, the nature of His magnificence, the nature of His glory, how God is light. You think about this. If you were to just go outside and look at the sun today. Kids, do not do this. Kids, don't do this. All right. But if you were to go outside and just look at the sun today, and you were to not blink, and you were to not close your eyes, you would look at the sun until what happened? Until that sun 92 miles away with its radiance and with its brilliance made you go blind because of its glory. And God made the sun. And you think about the nature of God, and you think about Him as light, and you think about how powerful that is. Even the few humans that we know recorded in the Scripture who were in the presence of God, it talked about them being illuminated afterwards by that power of God, that magnificence, that glory of God. That is the God of light, the God of purity that created the world. And that's the God that we serve as Christians. God is light. And when we know that, when we see that, it changes our perspective on everything, doesn't it? You look at the world when you're blind and without God and without knowing God, and when you see that God is light and you see the light of His truth, that changes your perspective and changes you, can transform you as you let that light in, right? But while God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are light, Jesus also taught that you are the light. He taught that in Matthew chapter 5. He said that you are the light unto the world. How can I be the light? How can you be the light? Well, in part, you see it right here in 1 John chapter 1. And in verse 5 it says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light," if we're practicing the truth, looking at the text here, if we're practicing the truth, walking in the light, it says, "As He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin." We are the light. In seeing the light and in responding to the light, in practicing the truth and practicing the righteousness as described here. Let me give you an illustration. I think it's an illustration. Take you back to the truck, right? You have the light shining in from the outside. But inside the truck, I had to be a light too, in the sense that I had to not be blind. I had to open my eyes and allow the light to enter my eyes so that I could see, right, the light. And I could see the windshield and I could see the impurity there and I could do something about it. I still haven't done it yet, but I will. But I can't do anything about it if I never saw it, right? And so while God is doing His part, I have to be doing my part as well. Jesus alludes to that. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount here. In Matthew chapter 6, He says in verse 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye." We know the lamp associated with the light, right? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light." It'll be full of light, of truth, of the righteousness of God, of practicing those things. Verse 23, "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And what is the darkness there? Well, the darkness is the sin. The darkness is the sin, and we can understand that just as the light is the truth and the light is the righteousness. We know that the darkness of sin throughout Scripture, and especially in the New Testament here, is what is referred to in that. And I want you to look over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, he's already from back in chapter 4 been talking about a lot of different sin and unrighteousness that's not supposed to be a part of the Christian life. Says you don't know Christianity if you're still practicing that lawlessness and practicing that unrighteousness. You weren't taught the gospel in that way to live in that ungodliness and that unrighteousness. It continues on into chapter 5 to the point in verse 6 where it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." We recognize sons of disobedience being related to those who live in sin and continue in sin, the sins that are talked about previously in chapter 5 and in chapter 4. And here in verse 6, he says, "Don't let anyone deceive you." It's because of these things, these sins, this unrighteousness, this darkness, that the wrath of God comes. Verse 7, "Therefore, do not be partakers with them." You, Christians, don't be partakers with the sons of disobedience in suffering the wrath of God. Verse 8, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Just as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, we see that the Holy Spirit says that you are light in the Lord. Not in and of yourself. In and of yourself, you're darkness, right? But in the Lord, being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a light in the Lord. That's what you're supposed to be. And so he says, walk as children of light. There is a particular behavior that we are supposed to exhibit. Well, what type of behavior are we supposed to exhibit? Back in front, stay there in Ephesians 5. I'm just going to refer back to 1 John, but stay there in Ephesians 5. Just remember what we read before in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And so practicing the truth is our living in the light. Practicing the righteousness of God is us being the light, as it talks about here, and walking as children of light. And you see that expound upon here in verse 9. For the fruit of light, Ephesians 5 and verse 9, "For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." That's the good things. Those are the righteous things of truth, what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11, "And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." He says, the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Well, what deeds would deeds of darkness be? I mean, little kids understand what deeds of darkness would be, right? That would be something that's wrong. That would be some sort of unrighteousness, some sort of ungodliness, just in a word, sin. That's what the deeds of darkness are. They are sin. And so he says, do not participate in those unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. How? By the light. Why? Because you are the light. Your job as the light is not to be a covering for the deeds of darkness. The job of light is to expose the deeds of darkness, right? We use that language all the time in our everyday vernacular, everyday society, right? We talk about corruption and how corruption is hidden in different places, government, organizations, that sort of thing. And we want to shine the light on it, right? We want to shine the light on it. Why? So we can expose it, so we can change it, so we can cleanse it, right? And so we understand that. You don't have to be religious to understand that concept, right? About how sin and wrongdoing, unrighteousness, those things go under the cover of darkness and are associated with darkness. And it is the responsibility of the light not just to not practice those things, but instead even to expose them. It says in verse 12, "For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret." Sin, the deeds of darkness, are supposed to be shameful things. crazy thing is, when you live in a society that is so corrupt and so full of darkness, the things of the darkness aren't even shameful anymore. From a cultural perspective, from a societal perspective, they're always shameful in the eyes of God, right? How many things can you think of? Perhaps just in your lifetime or in the lifetime of your parents, going back, how many things can you think of have changed from our world in which it was viewed before as sin, as ungodliness, as unrighteousness, but now it's accepted? I don't think I'll ever forget how quickly the viewpoint, the perspective of homosexuality changed within our society. Within a decade, it went from a minority of people believing that that was okay and that was fine and that was acceptable to now a majority of people in our society believing that homosexuality is fine and okay and normal and nothing wrong with it. Now, the Word of God never changed, and that standard never changed, and the light never changed, right? But we can understand living in society as Christians. God has said, you are light. God has said, walk as children of light. That means that we both practice the truth, we practice the righteousness of God, and in that practicing the righteousness of God, we expose the unrighteousness of men. We expose the darkness. And that's part of it. And we do that for the next generation. We do that for our children. We do that for others. We even especially need to do that for ourselves. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But look here, it says in verse 13, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. And that is part of the purpose of our coming together and working together to study the light, to study the Word of God, so that things become visible to us, so that the difference between right and wrong is visible to us. It's visible to us collectively as a church. It's visible to us individually as people. It's visible to us generationally, from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. It's why we come together and we study to see what the light opens our eyes to, right? And shows us what is good and what is holy and what is righteousness and what is truth versus that which is darkness and that which is sinful and that which is a lie or a deception by its nature. And so in verse 13, we strive to learn the truth so that what is right and what is the light becomes visible to us so that we can walk in that and we can walk as children of light as we are supposed to. Look over in John chapter 3 with me. I know everybody knows John chapter 3 and verse 16. Sometimes I think people think that the Gospel of John chapter 3 just ends at verse 16, but it doesn't. It keeps on going for quite a while. And this section of passage is probably a little bit less familiar to a lot of people, but Jesus... here talking about Jesus and the truth that's revealed, it says in verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be exposed. Do you want to know why a lot of times you're trying to talk to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ and despite all of your best efforts, they never obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because rather than allowing that light to enter their life and change their perspective and transform their life, they don't want to change. And they love the darkness and they hate the light. And they want to continue in the darkness rather than turn to the light. It's not a deficiency in you, and it's certainly not a deficiency in the light or the Word of God. It's a deficiency in the heart of man. It's always been a problem from the beginning. I'm not trying to single anybody out. It's always been a problem from the beginning. It's been a problem in every one of us probably at some point in our lives, right? We want to continue in the darkness. And we don't want that light to expose us. And so we hate the light and we reject the light because of it. Understand that as we are living as Christians and as we are striving to live as Christians in a dark and sinful world, the darkness is for the most part, most of the time, it's not going to love us. It's going to hate us. As a Christian, you need to be okay with that. If you love the light, you'll be okay with that. I'm not saying be mean or ugly towards people. I'm not saying you have to walk around, you know, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you know, that kind of stuff. But I'm not saying you have to do that. But your light of living as a Christian should expose the darkness wherever you are. If you're at school and a bunch of your friends are participating in unfruitful, ungodly, unrighteous things, and you're in that group, you need to shine forth as a light in that group that says, this behavior, this attitude, this action is not okay. If you're at work with a bunch of coworkers, example that's given a lot of times, you know, is a group of guys around, and perhaps they're joking about wives or belittling wives, you need to be the husband as a Christian that stands up and exposes how wrong that is. To talk about your wife in that disrespectful or disgraceful way. You need to be a light in that situation. A lot of situations you can think of in life where we need to not blend in with the darkness and therefore become a part of it. But instead expose the darkness by living as disciples of Jesus Christ. Living as the light that our Lord has instructed us to be. And the last part about this is I want us to understand that we need to not deceive ourselves either. Look back in 1 John chapter 1, if you will. 1 John chapter 1. This didn't happen, but imagine if it did. Imagine if before that light hit my window and I saw my dirty windshield. What if I was driving Kadri to school and there was a car in front of me? You know, we got those dust storms that come through and we got those pollen seasons that come through, and the car in front of me was just littered with pollen and littered with dirt, and they had smiley faces on the back of their windshield and they had to wash me written on there. You know, my kids do that too, right? Wash me on the back there, and I'm just driving going, man, can't these people see how dirty their car is? Man, can't they clean that thing up? You know, this is disgraceful driving around a car that dirty. You know, there's 50,000 car washes around San Antonio. It seems like one on every corner. It seems like I can't find a car wash and wash their car. What's wrong with these people? Why can't they see how dirty and how messy their car is? And then, of course, I'm driving back and the light hits my car, and then I see, well, hey, maybe I was a little bit hypocritical in talking about their dirty car when I have my own dirty car to worry about. And there can be this hypocrisy and there can be this self-deception that we have to be mindful of. We don't want to sit here this morning and think that we're just talking about everybody else out there and that we're all perfect and we're all righteous and none of us have any sin in our lives and we're all walking in light. None of us are walking in darkness. And what's wrong with all those people out there? That sort of thing. We need to make sure that we're looking in the mirror. We need to make sure that the light of our eyes is open and not blinded to self. He says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. The light is not in us. Sometimes, perhaps, we enjoy going to church to hear about the sins and the darkness of other people. And we think of ourselves as having no sin. And we're living so good, and we're living so right, and we're living so righteous. And sometimes we can deceive ourselves that just by being here at church on a Sunday morning, well, that just shows, look at me, I'm walking in the light. You can sit in a pew every single Sunday and every single Wednesday And every single annual singing that we have, like this Friday at 7 p.m., that everybody's invited to, and we would love for you all to come and invite your friends and neighbors, and I'll make sure all of them come out Friday at 7 p.m. All those things, right, that we do. But it could be a deception for others, and it could be a deception for yourself as well. And it could be a covering for sin and unrighteousness and darkness that is in your own life. Don't be a hypocrite in judging others with these problems, and don't be self-deceived into thinking that you have nothing to work on, that I don't have anything to work on. We all have things that we need to be working on to be the light that God has called us to be. I want you to consider 2 Corinthians as we bring the lesson to a close. 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, "For such men are false prophets, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." And so they're disguising themselves as apostles of light, right? They're deceitful workers. They're not true workers of the light. They're false apostles. They're not true apostles of the light in verse 13. And it says in verse 14, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds." What deeds? Deeds of darkness. Deeds of deceitfulness. Deeds of sin. Instead of deeds of light and deeds of righteousness and deeds of truth. And just as he talks about that in regard to false apostles, so we have to be careful that it doesn't apply to us as false disciples, as those who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, as those who say we follow Jesus Christ, as those who may be doing some things like you would expect disciples to do, like go to church, right? But really, it's just a covering to deceive those around us, and maybe even to deceive our own selves, that I'm righteous, and that I'm godly, and that I'm a child of light that is walking as light. That's a tough, tough thing. It's a tough, tough thing to do that self-examination, isn't it? I don't get in my truck all the time looking to see whether or not I need to clean the windshield. Sometimes it's incredibly obvious. Other times, not so much. But sometimes it's not obvious just because I've deceived myself. I've made myself blind to it. By not thinking about it, not caring about it, not paying attention to it, not allowing that light to hit it and to hit me so that I can see it. And the same is true with the Word of God. And my hope is this morning that the light of the Word of God has hit you to where you see the truth and you see the purity of God and you see the purity of the gospel, and you see the righteousness that He calls you to, and you see what He wants you to be and what He wants you to do as a child of light, and as He calls you to be a light unto the world. And where you see those shortcomings in your life, as you see those shortcomings in your life, you're not self-deceived and not self-blinded, but instead you humble yourself to let the light in, to see that new perspective and to be transformative in your life for good, for fruitful deeds of righteousness and godliness. Jesus can make you pure. If you open your eyes to the light of the gospel and you obey that gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't hate it, but you love it and you accept it. And by God's grace, you see the light today that you need the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ in your life to wash away your sins, to make you pure and holy and righteous again, so that the light of Christ can shine in you and the light of Christ can shine forth from you into a dark and sinful world. Understand, God gives you that opportunity today to see and to act. If the church can help you in that this morning, we encourage you to make that known by coming forward as together we stand and as we sing.